Okay, hope everybody had a really terrific day. Yesterday we discussed some of the principles of Bittul Avodah Zarah, so we're going to continue with that discussion in Mishnah Vav of the fourth parak of Avodah Zarah. The Mishnah says, Avodah Zarah shenichu avda b'shas shalom muteres b'shas melchama asura. So if it's been abandoned, the Avodah Zarah was abandoned during a time of war, it's hard to draw any conclusions on that basis. You know, people flee, they run during times of war, and we can't really know whether they mean to leave their Avodah Zarah behind deliberately. If it's Bishas Shalom, if it's during a time of peace and they just leave it behind, obviously they're not invested in the Avodah Zarah anymore. Bimosios Shel Melachim. There's a dispute what this is. Hare Elu Mutaros. Mibnei Shemamidim Osam Bishas Shah Melachim Ovrim. So there's a basic dispute between the Rambam and the Bartanura, what it means, Bishas Shah Melachim Ovrim. The Rambam says it's when a new king is installed. They used to set up this kind of matzeva, and then they would put an Avodah Zarah on top of it, but it was very temporary basis. The Bartanura likes to go in a different direction. He says, Bishas Shah Melachim Ovrim actually means when kings would travel, sort of rolling out the red carpet. So let's say the king could go in one of three directions, and he didn't know exactly what his itinerary was, probably because the Secret Service didn't release it. Okay, so in each direction they would set up, like, you know, a platform, and they could put an Avodah Zarah on top of it, but the king might not even head in that direction. In other words, it was totally like muznach, it was abandoned and left to the side, so that might be a reason for Bittul Avodah Zarah. So this entire discussion that Tiferes Yisrael brings up, like, let's say it was really just the case that it was a temporary thing, would that not render it prohibited on the basis of Avodah Zarah, wouldn't it then require some bittul afterwards? So that might be the, you know, advantage, the perspective of the Bartanura, if it never really, you know, was acknowledged as Avodah Zarah altogether, because the king never opted to go in that direction. So maybe that is why a bittul isn't required on the back end. Interestingly, the Rambam takes this as an opportunity, the next Mishnah, Mishnah Zion, to write in very parallel terms to what he writes in Hilchos Avodah Zarah about the whole sordid history of how Avodah Zarah got started. But a very famous Mishnah, Shalos is a Canaan Biromi, Iman Ritzonab Avodah Zarah, Lamoyin Mavatla. Speaking of Bittul Avodah Zarah, if God is really against idolatry in the world, why does he allow it to exist? So Amr Lahen, so the rabbis answered the Romans, right? Ilu Ladavar Shin Sarah Cholumbo, Hayu Ovdin Hayu Mavatlo, Hare and Ovdin Lacham Lavana Lakochavim Lamasalos, Yaabed Olamo, Mipne Hashotim. So the rabbis said, look, you know, God doesn't have too much of a choice in this. You know, they're worshiping the sun, the moon, the stars. If God will get rid of that, the world will cease to exist. Should God destroy his world just because there are a bunch of fools running around? So obviously this isn't the real reason, right? You know, God gives us Bechira Chafshis, but they're entertaining the conversation. So the Romans said to them, okay, you know, I get it as far as like people who are worshiping things that are really essential, but there are plenty of people, it's funny that the Romans should be the one that's saying this, they're worshiping things that aren't in any way important and aren't in any way essential. Why can't God do anything about that? So it's, you know, obviously very humorous because the pagans are the ones who are saying, but we worship plenty of things that aren't important. So, you know, why can't God get rid of those? Okay, so they say that to the rabbis. So the rabbis answered, undoubtedly with a smile on their faces, Amru lahen, Af anu machazikin yidei avdeim shal elu she'omrim teidu shehein alohos she'arein hein lo batalu. So they say, well, God doesn't want to do that earlier either, because if he lets the sun, the moon, and the stars exist, because those are like really important, and he destroys things that are of lesser importance, and then the sun worshippers and the moon worshippers and the star worshippers will say, ah, you see, our God is really a God, you know, because God spared it from destruction, unlike all the other unimportant Avodah Zarah. So, you know, obviously this is a tongue-in-cheek kind of a conversation. The rabbis would tell you, you know, God doesn't answer to the Ovdei Avodah Zarah, and the fact that people are out there in the world, you know, making, you know, mistakes doesn't mean that God has to start, you know, destroying his world. That's part of the doctrine of Bechira, of free will. But what I will say is that, all kidding aside, the Gemara in Yoma tells us a very fascinating agada, that the Yetzer Hara, we can't understand it, but that the Yetzer Hara for Avodah Zarah was so strong that after the destruction of the first Beis HaMikdash, which was attributed by Chazal to worshipping idols, amongst other things, Avodah Zarah Gilui Raya Shvi Chastamim, the rabbis prayed that God should take away the Yetzer Hara for Avodah Zarah because we were overwhelmed by it. We weren't able to manage it in a proper fashion. So in a certain sense, right, even though this Mishnah is a little bit, cartoonish in a certain sense, right? That God would come out and destroy the Avodah Zarah. In reality, right, it's our belief that God sort of did do that in terms of, you know, impacting the human desire for Avodah Zarah. There's a very famous Gemara in Sanhedrin, but this will conclude, where Rav Ashi is interacting with Menashe. Menashe comes back from the dead for a moment. And, you know, it turns out that he's a much bigger Talmud Chacham than one of the greatest of the Amoraim. And, and he turns to Menashe and he says, I don't get it. You know, you're such a big Talmud Chacham. Why are you worshipping Avodah Zarah? And he says, you know, had you been around during our generation when there was a real desire for Avodah Zarah, here you would be, instead of, you know, talking, you would be chasing Avodah Zarah, you know, with your coattails between your legs, meaning, you know, you can't judge people based on what you never experienced. So, you know, part of our interaction with this Masechta is to appreciate that it wasn't a simple thing at all. To avoid Avodah Zarah was very attractive and compelling for the people who existed at a time when that was the dominant, world ideology. And it took like an Avraham Avinu to stand up against all of that. Echad haya Avraham, kol olam kulo me'ever echad, v'hu